who is ready to get in to the Word of God this morning?
Amen.
Who is ready to hear what the Lord has to say? Today, church, first and foremost, let me say good morning. It's been a long time since I've started my sermon by saying good morning, Engaged Church. And so this morning, I want us just to reflect for a moment. We've gone through being grateful, and giving thanks in all circumstances, and overflowing with thankfulness, and how to cultivate a heart of gratefulness. So as we've been walking through this sermon on grateful hearts, the first 2 weeks were geared towards how do we shape, when we focus on gratitude, how it shapes our life. But today, we're going to dive in just a little bit deeper because this is the last sermon in this series. Next week, we kick off a Christmas series. Yes, we're 4 weeks from Christmas. And so that's exciting for me. But anyways, we're going to dive in a little bit deeper today, and we're going to look at what it really means to be thankful in all circumstances. Underline all circumstances there. It's not just for the good times, but it's for every season in life. It's for every situation that we face. And it's, I think we can all agree, and if we were to take a show of hands, is it not easier to give thanks when everything is going well? Easy to have praise on your lip when life is good, right? How easy is it when life feels heavy, uncertain, or even painful? Comes a little harder, doesn't it? It takes a little bit more intentionality, doesn't it? It takes a little bit more effort to give thanks in those seasons. And I've got a story that I want to share with you this morning. It's about a man who had every right to be bitter. But even though he had every right to be bitter, he chose thankfulness. The next footsteps in the corridor he knew might be those of the guards taking him away to his execution. His only bed was the hard, cold stone floor of the dank, cramped prison cell. Not an hour passed when he was free from the constant irritation of the chains and the pain of the iron manacles cutting into his wrist and his legs. Separated from friends, unjustly accused, brutally treated, if ever a person had a right to complain, it was this man. Languishing, almost forgotten, in a harsh Roman prison, but instead of complaints, his lips rang with words of praise and thanksgiving. This man was the Apostle Paul, a man who had learned the meaning of true thanksgiving, even in the midst of great adversity. Think of it. Take a moment and just ponder on this. Giving thanks for everything, no matter the circumstances. Sleeping on a cold, hard floor in prison, unjustly there, but still finding an opportunity to give thanks. Who here this morning can be confident that they would be able to do the same thing? It's a challenging thought, isn't it? And if you have your Bible with you this morning, let me ask you to open it up. We've got two different scriptures that we're going to go through this morning. If not, no worries, it's on the overhead. You'll soon catch up to where we're at. But the two scriptures, first is in the book of Philippians. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we'll go through verses 6 through 7. And then second is the book of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And today we're going to see, as we turn and as we read, we're going to see that both Paul and James, they give us powerful encouragements about how to approach these difficult times and how to do it with a heart of thanksgiving. Let's dive in to God's Word this morning. Let's open our hearts to see what He wants to teach us on how to give thanks in the midst of all circumstances. Amen. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Moving on to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So today, we're going through this series for a couple of reasons. One, because we need to cultivate, we need to have a deep sense of thankfulness, of gratefulness, outflowing from our life every single day. Who here can testify that life is hard? It stinks, doesn't it? But guess what needs to be on our lips every day? Amen. Thankfulness, gratefulness. It needs to flow from our life every single day. I go back to the first sermon in this series when I said, ain't nobody come to Christ for a grumpy Christian. If all's anything off your lips is doomsday, my life stinks, everything's terrible, what kind of testimony are we giving to the Lord Jesus and the saving power He's had in our life? I don't think that's a reason to be grumpy. Everything else, you are good to be grumpy. The Holy Spirit will deal with you on that. But Jesus' saving power over your life, that's a reason to shout for joy. Amen. Okay, that's the wellspring of overflow is from that moment. And then also, guess what? Thanksgiving is this Thursday. So we're going to talk about gratefulness. Because I promise that at some dinner tables this fall, this Thanksgiving, you're not going to like a conversation. You may not like somebody sitting next to you. This week I saw a video on TikTok. They have these extendable forks that extend like 3 feet. And people were taking videos of extending it and stealing somebody's food across the table from them. You might have somebody like that at Thanksgiving, okay? Be grateful. Be grateful. You have family around you. You have people that want to share time with you. And then let's just go back to it. We have the presence of Jesus. That is the basis of our gratefulness. So this is why we're going through this series. And did you know that Thanksgiving isn't just meant to be a once a year holiday where we give thanks? It's not just once a year that the church comes together, but in reality, it should be a daily thing. Thankfulness needs to be a daily thing that happens because it changes our lives and it makes us joyful in every situation. If you do not have joy this morning, when was the last time you gave thanks? Do I need to repeat that? If you're sitting in your seat grumpy this morning, did you wake up giving thanks to the Lord this morning? I'm sitting up here trying not to hack out all the gunk from this week. And I was up for several hours in the night and I'm tired. And I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for the Spirit of Jesus who lives right here, who changes me, who made me who I am today. Not who I was, not the motives I was chasing, but we're here in the presence of the Lord together. And I am thankful for each and every one of you this morning. Because without you, what am I doing? I'm standing up here just talking. Right? Trust me when I say we all have a reason to be thankful this morning, okay? So it's something we need to do every single day. This thanksgiving, which is the giving of thanks, it defines itself. Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks. It is for God and for all of His blessings that He bestows upon us, that He gives us, that He blesses us abundantly with. And it's a mark. It's a very distinctive mark of the Christian, is somebody who is thankful. Because it gives us this, it changes our spirit of ingratitude to gratitude. Trust me when I tell you, I have a lot that I can be not thankful for. Everybody does. I'm just going to be the guy that's willing to say it. I have a lot that I could say, I am not thankful for this. But guess what? what I have to be thankful for supersedes what I have to not be thankful for. So we must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts and to chill. What a telling word. To chill our relationships with God and with others. Don't let ingratitude separate you from the body of Christ. Because that's what will happen. Maybe you don't like the stage lights. I'm sorry. Be grateful that we have a building to come into and to worship the Lord. If we focus on what we're not thankful for, next thing you know, it's like a disease that spreads. And now we're not grateful for the fact that we have altar benches up here at the altar. Or we could not be thankful that not every back of the chair is attached at the same height. And now everybody's going to look and find that one chair that sits higher than the one next to it. Let's just be thankful that we're in the body. In the building that the Lord has blessed us with. As Arvin said this morning, we have a $1.5 million campus. We're going to do ministry here. Free and clear. We have much to be thankful for this morning, church. So don't let that spirit of ingratitude come in and steal your joy and just chill your relationship towards the church, toward others in the church. Listen, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Guess what? You're not everybody's cup of tea either. Amen. But guess what? We all love each other. Why? Because we all have unity in the body of Christ. We just read this morning in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Hebrew, slave or free man, or male or female, because we are all made one under Christ. So if I'm not your cup of tea, just add some sugar and I promise it'll be better, okay? Listen, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. It just happens. And nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. This takes us back to the first sermon. We need to cultivate hearts of thanksgiving. We need to cultivate a spirit of being grateful for things. So, our text today tells us that we must practice giving thanks in all circumstances. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us a very powerful command when he says, in everything, in all things. What does that mean? What does he mean by in everything? Well, it explains itself, doesn't it? It means not just in the good times, but in all circumstances. That means we're allowed to bring our anxieties, our requests, and our gratitude before God the Father. Amen. Thanksgiving, it is a crucial element of our prayer life. It is not separate from our prayer life, but it is a part of our prayer life. And it doesn't just change our perspective when we start being thankful for things. It is what it does. It invites God's presence. It invites His peace to come in and guard our hearts and our minds from the spirit of ingratitude. Did everybody's week go the way you wanted it to? Kelly's the only one that said yes this morning. But my point here is we have a lot we could focus on and start to be ungrateful for. My week did not go as planned. I didn't intend to be sick every day. Caleb had to miss Fall Youth Convention because we didn't have a male leader to go. And I was the one that needed to go because I'm his dad. I can't put another male with Caleb in a hotel room. Elementary understanding of what's appropriate and not, right? Caleb had to stay home. He missed Fall Youth Convention. But instead of letting him stay home, we sent him to Grandma and Grandpa's so he could still have a weekend that was exciting. It's not fair to him. He could be ungrateful. He hasn't even mentioned it. He was happy that he got to go to Grandpa and Grandma's. So much so that little side note here, you guys will see Laverne and Carol Sue here next week, but we were down at their house at the end of October, and we went to, what's the theme park down there? I just lost it. Silver Dollar City, that's where we went. While we were in their house, we started finding little rubber duckies all over their house. Their grandkids and Tara have been hiding little rubber duckies all over things. Fans, decorations, inside of lamps, in the soap bottle, in the bathroom. Our boys loved it. So much so that Caleb came home and printed 200 rubber duckies. Guess where those have been hidden at? Grandpa and Grandma's house. So they were more than happy to go to Grandpa and Grandma's on Friday night because they got to hide more rubber duckies throughout the house. So, but anyways, we have a lot of things that if we focus on the negative, all of a sudden we get pretty ungrateful for all the positive around us. That's what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make here this morning. So when we add gratitude to our prayers, here's what it does. It shifts our focus from all the wrong things that happened this week in our lives or the things that we feel that are missing. Come on, we all are missing something that we think needs to be in our life. It focuses away from those things to what God has already provided us. What He's already given us, what He's already blessed us with. This doesn't, listen, you might be sitting there thinking, well, that's going to ignore my situation, Mike. You don't understand my situation. I don't need to understand your situation. I am not telling you this morning to ignore your situation. I'm just telling you to give it to God in an attitude of gratitude. Because, Lord, I know that You are in control. There is a plan here that I don't understand, but You are sovereign, and I trust You. And You have been faithful throughout my entire life. What if we just started to reframe those things in our life in that way? It doesn't ignore the circumstances. Rather, here's what it does. It reframes our perspective. It changes our perspective. It changes what we're focusing on. Even in the midst of life's trials, we can thank God because we know, the Bible tells us it is clear that He has promised to be with us and that He has promised to help us. So when we express thanksgiving in prayer, we remind ourselves, we need to be reminded, we remind ourselves of God's faithfulness, His goodness, and His sovereignty over our circumstances. Church, He is worthy to be praised. No matter what you are walking through, He is worthy to be praised. I know, we're going to get in it. This is the hardest thing to talk about. Because, Mike, you don't know my circumstance. I don't. You're right, I don't. Until I live it, I won't understand it. But I can encourage you to go back to the Lord. It is not me that brings you peace. It is not me when you're in here on Sunday mornings and me yelling at you for 40 minutes that really gets you excited. It is the presence and the Spirit of the Lord that brings you peace. So let's bring our troubles into the church and lay them down for Him to handle. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Kelly. So what Paul promises us in the book of Philippians, and if you remember, we did a book series about this a couple months ago. We went through the chapters of Philippians. God's peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts, it will guard our minds when we pray with thanksgiving. Now here's a key thing with this that I believe every one of us can benefit from this morning. It isn't about understanding every circumstance. Maybe you did. Maybe your circumstance is the result of something you did. Maybe the result of your circumstance has nothing to do with you, and you don't know why you're walking what you're walking through today. Okay? You may not understand, but when we do this, it shifts from, it's not about understanding every circumstance, it's about placing that trust that God has in control everything to do with you and that circumstance. He is in control. And then it is His peace that comes through our gratitude and our surrender to Him. So it's not about understanding why we're walking through whatever. It's about trusting Him while we are walking through whatever our circumstance is. I know that Alicia and I have had a few things in our life that have happened that were completely out of our control, to where the only thing we could do, the last thing we could do is just give it to the Lord. How many of us resort to that being the last thing to do after we've exhausted all of our attempts? Let's reframe and let's put prayer as the first thing to do. Okay? The only thing that we could do was pray, thank God for who He is. Amen. Every prayer should start, Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for this. Thank You, Lord. Give Him thanks. Thank Him for who He is and fully trust in His ability. I saw a video the other day. I'm way off notes, but that's okay. Somebody on a Christian video rebutted and said, well, if you get cremated, there's no body to bring back to physical when Jesus comes. And the commentator said, are you really taking the God that sits outside of our knowledge, He's outside of space, time, and matter, are you telling me His weakness is fire? When in reality, His ability is far greater than what our limitations of understanding are. Okay? So while praising throughout whatever it takes, we had to find ourselves to praise through whatever it was that we were facing at that time. And it takes the focus off of the trial in front of you, and it puts it on who God is. This is how we praise God in all circumstances. Now, this is where our second verse comes into play. And this is the trying part. This is the hard thing. So stick with me here. James has a very powerful thing he wants to share with all of us this morning. And the idea that he shares with us, it's a challenge. It is, if you will, a hard pill to swallow. What is that pill? Count our trials as what? As joy. Count our trials as joy. How can we possibly count our trials as joy? See, James tells us that trials, they produce steadfastness. And steadfastness is a quality of perseverance and maturity in faith. See, when we do that, God is able to refine us. He's able to shape our hearts. He's able to reform our character. When we choose to give joy or to give thanks and have joy in the midst of our trials. So the Lord starts to shape who we are, if you will. And it's so easy. We already said this. It's so easy to give thanks when things are easy. When we're on cloud nine, when we just got the promotion, or we just did this, or this just happened, we just had a new baby, What happens when we hit the valley? What happens when we're knocked off of the mountaintop and now we crash? We hit the low. We face hardship. We hit rock bottom, if you will. Giving thanks, having gratitude in that situation almost seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? But here's the fun part. James encourages us that even in the face of trial, we can have joy because we know that God is at work in us. As Bible-believing, born-again Christians, God is never not working in you. Or on you, right? God is working in and through you to produce something that is valuable. He is building you into something valuable. Does your trial stink? Sure, it does. Through that, He is building something valuable. And it's something that will help us grow spiritually. So the hardest lessons to learn are the ones that we generally grow the most from, right? I remember when I was a kid, my stepbrother, he was 3 years old at the time. I don't know how old I was. I don't know. We had a wood stove in the middle of our kitchen. And it was a big old wood stove, black. That's how we heated the house. And you weren't there, but that's funny. This was years ago, buddy, before we even knew each other. A wood stove in our house. Well, you're thinking of the house. Okay, so I did live out over by John and Teresa that had a wood stove. That's the one you're talking about. That's not the house I'm talking about. That kid's got a lock trap memory here. So anyways, years and years and years ago, my dad and my stepmom told him, don't you touch that, it's hot. You know where this is going. That wood stove is burning red hot in the front of it. He walks up to the side, both hands. Everyone just cringed because you know the pain he just felt because y'all have been burnt before. Guess who never touched the wood stove again? See, the same thing the Lord does with us as He's walking us through our trials is to help us grow spiritually. So when we recognize when we're walking back down a path that's going to bring destruction, that's going to put us in a circumstance where ingratitude steps in, and all of a sudden, Lord, where are you? You abandoned me. No, you just didn't listen. You forgot to give praise in the midst of what you're walking through. And so the hardest lessons generally are the ones that we grow the most from. And listen, do you know that God's goal for us, this is for everybody in here, this isn't just for me, this isn't just for the super Christian, this is if you've been a Christian for 10 minutes, God's goal for you is spiritual maturity. He wants us all to mature. So through our trials, He builds up our faith, and He comes and He helps us become more complete. Meaning, and this comes from James, to be more complete. Meaning we lack nothing in Him. We lack nothing in Him. Choosing to thank God in trials can be part of our spiritual growth. It helps us become more like Christ, and knowing this should encourage us to then indeed turn around and give God thanks in those trials. He wants to grow us. Think of it like this. Think of a piece of clay on a potter's wheel, and they move their hands. Everyone got the visual? You know what I'm talking about, right? We're making a piece of clay here. It's being molded by a potter. The pressure and the shaping, it may feel uncomfortable. Whose life is 180 of what it was before a Christian? Come on, right? Everybody in here, right? There was a molding that had to take place, right? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. But the purpose is to shape the clay into something beautiful. Something that has value. A piece of clay unformed is what? A piece of clay. It holds no value. But when it's made into the vase, guess what? It now has value. The Lord has placed a value on each and every one of your lives. He has a purpose for you. I don't know the trials that you walk. I don't know the circumstances of each and every one, but I pray for you. I pray that you would have strength in the trial, that you would find a way to give Him thanks so He can spiritually grow us, so we can be more firm in our relationship with Him than when people come in hurting and broke. Guess what? We're able to meet Him right there because we've walked through it, we've experienced, and we know the way forward. Similarly, when we endure trials with a heart of thanksgiving, God is shaping us into the people that He desires us to be. Like a potter molding the clay, church, let the Lord mold you. Let the Lord mold you. Practice, regardless of how hard it is, please practice viewing your trials in life through a lens of gratitude. Because it's an opportunity for the Lord to form you more spiritually. Ask yourself, when you're in the midst of that trial, ask, what can I thank God for in this trial? What good is there in this that I could say, Lord, thank you? Well, maybe it's starting by thanking Him for strength that He's given you to walk through the trial. Maybe He's teaching you some lessons from it. You're learning something. Or maybe it's just the sheer bit of His comfort that is giving you peace, and you know that He promises to provide as you go through those circumstances. No matter what we face, we have a way to give Him thanks. So, to allow God to mold us, if we want God to mold us, listen, you've heard me say this during the salvation call. Living a life, giving your life to Jesus, means you're going to have the best life. I did not say easiest life. God didn't promise us easy, right? But it's the best because it includes ending with Him. My sins, they're gone. Forgotten. Ken, your sins, gone and forgotten. Dusty, yours are forgiven. Ruth, yours are forgiven. Listen, I could call all of your names. But to allow God to mold us, we have to first trust in who He is. We have to trust in who He tells us He is. We have to trust in His sovereignty, which means through our gratitude, we recognize that God is in control over all situations. Now, did you put yourself in this situation? Possibly. But guess what? He's not limited by you putting yourself in a situation. He can still work through that circumstance. So, church, let's show gratitude for His sovereignty. Even when life feels like it's spiraling out of control, we're tapping the brakes, we're trying to bring some controlled chaos to the chaos. Does anybody know what I mean when I say that? Controlled chaos to the chaos. We're trying to bring what's unfair to fairness or what's unjust. Listen, no matter what it is that you face, you can trust that He knows, that God knows what is best for you, and He's using every situation around you, whether it be good, whether it be bad, He's using it for His glory and for your good. Because He's bringing you value. We must recognize His hand in all things around us. When we truly give thanks in every situation, here's what we do. We acknowledge that God is at work in every moment of our lives. He is at work right now. Even in times of suffering, what you have going on, He is working in that right now. Trust and know this. There is a purpose in every season that we walk. There is a purpose, even if you can't always see it at the time. Ultimately, we trust that God is good, no matter what happens. Sometimes things happen we don't want to happen. And then you start questioning, is God truly good? Yes, He is. Oh, believe me, He is. His plans are always better than our own, even though it doesn't make sense. This kind of gratitude, it's rooted in God's character, not in our circumstances. Do you want to know the character of God? Guess what you could do? We got 5 weeks left, 6 weeks, I guess, technically, 6 weeks of our Bible reading plan for the year. Jump in and read it. There's no bad time to get into the Bible. A prime example of what I'm talking about here, what James has challenged us to do, is to give thanks in all circumstances and in everything, is the story of Joseph in Genesis. I used Joseph a couple weeks ago. But I think we can all agree that Joseph's life was full of awful setbacks. Thing after thing after thing. What Joseph did is he remained faithful. He trusted in God. And all while all of this was happening, the uncertainties, how long he was in jail, all of this, all the while God was using every moment to position Joseph for his greater purpose. He was bringing value to Joseph's life. They say wisdom comes later on in life because you've lived a lot of life and you've learned. You have value. The Lord wants to bring value to your life today. Okay? And I'm sure each of us, we've had a time when we didn't understand our circumstances. We didn't understand why. But when you look back, they say hindsight is what? 20/20. You can see more clearly in the past than you can in the future, even in the present. When we look back, we understand. We understand why and how God was at work. The whole time we see His hand through it. It's in these moments while we're walking through that trial, while we're facing that circumstance, but it's also when we look back and we reflect on those circumstances and trials that we have walked through. We must find ourselves thanking God for His sovereignty. If He brought you out of the pit of hell, guess what? Thank you, Lord. I didn't deserve that. Whenever we recall the things that He's done in our life, we have a reason to be grateful. We have a reason to give thanks. It's in these moments that we shift that perspective. We reframe that perspective. We know and trust that God is at work, even in ways or at times that it seems like He's not there. If you've ever been in the desert, if you will, you've pleaded, you've asked, you've given it to the Lord, you're waiting for a response, and no response seemingly comes. Guess what? He's working. He knows your situation. He is working through it, even if you can't see it. And church, I just need to say this. I don't know what trials you may be facing right now. I know there's many trials happening in our church. I don't know exactly what it is that each one of you face, but God does. And that's what matters. God sees it. He knows it. And here's what you need to know. He sees you. He loves you. And He is with you. I need you to grasp that this morning, because that's the whole pivot point of this sermon today, is to know that God loves you, He sees you, and He is with you through whatever it is that you or your family or loved ones or whatever are walking through in this moment. He does not abandon His children. He has not abandoned you today. So church, today we've been challenged. In fact, the last 3 weeks we have been challenged to learn and to have a spirit of gratitude, to have grateful hearts. And we've heard today that gratitude is a choice we make in every circumstance. Whether in times of peace or times of trial, we must choose to pray with thanksgiving. We must choose to count our trials as joy. And we must trust in God's sovereignty. And we must align our will with His will. We must align our hearts with His will. The promise that we have is the promise of peace, of steadfastness, of spiritual growth, and it comes when we embrace gratitude, even when it's hard. But do you know, it's not just about us. We've talked very directly that it is about us, right? But it's not. It's not just about you. It's not just about your situation. It's also about how we live out our faith in the world around us. When we live with grateful hearts, here's what we do. We reflect Jesus to our community. We reflect Jesus to our coworkers, to our family. Gratitude overflows. Remember last week, the cup? Overflowing with thankfulness was the sermon title, right? We're overflowing. Gratitude overflows into our actions, our words, and our relationships, and they become a testimony of God's goodness in our life. Amen. By living out gratitude, we take another step towards fulfilling our mission as a church, engaging our community for Jesus. So I challenge each one of you this week, how can you let gratitude shape the way you change, or the way that you engage, rather? How do you I got to reframe, if you will. How can you let gratitude shape the way you engage with those around you? Let your gratitude point others to Christ, showing them the peace and the joy that comes from knowing and trusting in Him. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning, please? If you would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? We talked about this in Sunday school. There will never be a service that I have that does not include salvation and altar call. Two reasons. One, I want everyone to be right with the Lord. Two, I want everybody to respond and worship the Lord. It is not me, it is not the situation, but rather it's the character of who God is, and it's His presence that we seek. So maybe you're here today, Emma, if you want to come on up. Maybe if you're here today and you don't feel this kind of gratitude that I've talked about this morning, you don't know how you can be grateful. Maybe you're searching for peace, for joy, for purpose, but you've never experienced the life-transforming relationship with Jesus. And it brings all of this. A relationship with Him brings all of this into your life. I want to tell you that today, that the greatest reason that we can be thankful is Jesus Himself. It is Jesus alone that we have reason to be thankful. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead, and He made a way for us to be reconciled to God. Without Jesus' true peace and gratitude, guess what? They're impossible. They don't happen. But with Him, everything changes. So this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you've wandered, you've taken a few steps off and you're doing things your way, you've wandered away from Him, and you want to come back, today is the perfect day to respond to His love. Today is the day to respond to Him. I need you to have this image in your head. He's waiting for you. His arms are wide open. He's ready to give you His peace, His purpose, and the joy of salvation. All it takes, church, is a simple step of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That in itself, right there, church, that's the invitation. That's the invitation from the Lord to believe, to surrender, and to begin a new life with Him. So if that's you this morning, no matter where you are, if that's you, every head bowed and every eye closed, if that is you this morning, would you please just raise your hand? So, church, here's how I'd like to close today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, that He has reached in, that He has gotten a hold of your heart. He has said, hey, let's try gratitude. Let's try trusting me through this, whatever it is that you face. Maybe today you're struggling to be thankful. Maybe today you're struggling because you're facing a difficult circumstance, a difficult decision that's coming up. You're finding it hard to navigate what it is that you're facing. Listen, I want to invite you to come forward, to bring your anxieties, to bring your struggles, to bring your burdens, to bring your family, to bring your loved ones, to bring the things that trouble you and keep you up at night. Bring them to the altar. Lay them before the King of Kings and say, Lord, I trust in You. It is Your sovereignty, Lord. And then let's pray together. Let's ask God to help us to choose gratitude in every situation, to trust Him in this situation, to know that He is sovereign and He is good. So church, my challenge, my call to you, my plea to you this morning is if you are here today and you need peace or you need joy in your trial, would you come to the altar? Would you come forward? And would you receive prayer? And would you leave it at the foot of the cross today?